Okay.
James Williams, who is PCA teaching elder and executive director of CURE, or what's your official title with that?
That'll do.
You're the leader.
Yeah, that'll do.
You're the leader. And so we may have some other folks. I'm going to be looking this way, but hopefully the thing will be picking up our sound too. But so, James, glad to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
And I'm always encouraged when I talk with you, and the privilege it is to do that. And so great to have you with us this morning on this Zoom call conference. You're right here with us. Tell us a little bit about CURE. You got started, joint commission from Southeast Alabama Presbytery and Mission North America. And we've got kind of a write-up about CURE here in our prayer sheet, but just tell us a little bit about it from your own experience and where you're going with this.
Okay. Before I do that, I really want to say thank you to all you guys, the Trinity Church, for sponsoring me in this vision for CURE, and the support in the Mission House is working out wonderful, and we're enjoying it very much. And I want to say thanks to all the elders who are on my support team as well. And want to just acknowledge Claude as a way back friend that I knew Claude when he was like 15 years old. Mm-hmm. As his dad was one of my first sponsors with Campus Crusade for Christ mm-hmm. when I started Campus Crusade in 1979. In fact, I think Eugene McRoberts was probably the first person to write me a check. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to be here. Love Claude, love this church, love you guys, and I'm just honored to be here. Where do I start? There's so much to say. I'll just sum it up this way. We were looking to see what God would have us do at this season in our life. You know, you have different seasons. And Patrick came to me, and then next thing I knew, there was a group, Bubba, pursuing me and saying, we want you to stay in Montgomery. We're excited about you because you're Black. And I was like, oh, I'm curious about that. I'm not used to that. And because you're Reformed and because you have evangelism gifts. And if you want to do a replant or if you want to start a ministry, do campus outreach, what do you want to do? So Barbara and I went on sabbatical for about 30 days. We didn't know what to do. And I was crying out to the Lord saying, Lord, you know, at this season of my life, I can't afford to just make another decision on my own. I need you to really show me something that you're doing. And early one morning, about 3, I woke up and this thought came into my mind that the church needs to focus on evangelism. I saw this verse, Matthew 9:35, where it says Jesus was going throughout the villages and the cities, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel. And I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, I know that's in the Bible, but Jesus was proclaiming the gospel. And one of the kickbacks that I was always getting to us going out to evangelize, well, it's just not my gift. Well, I'm too shy and all those things. And some people saying, I met this guy once said, well, I just live it. You know, I read my Bible and listen to classical music. And one day my neighbor is going to ask me, why do you do that every Sunday? And I said, how long you been doing that? He says, about 20 years. I said, has he ever asked you? So if anybody could say, I just live it, it would be Jesus. But Jesus proclaimed the gospel, and he dealt with people's mercy needs, and he dealt with afflictions. And so he was healing and dealing with problems, broken down people. And so I just started thinking, wow, we're part of the greatest denomination in the world. Presbyterian Church in America has some great theology. We got a great heritage, great history of theology and understanding and practical living and applying the Bible and on biblical principles that outshine any and everybody. And I said, one of the things that we're weak in, and let's just be honest, I've been here long enough, I've been doing it for 30 years, is that we're weak in evangelism. And God, would you be calling me to motivate the church to start establishing a culture of evangelism? And so I just wrote out this vision of, it just started coming to me. We need stronger leaders, and we need a stronger leaders make stronger families, stronger families, stronger churches, stronger churches, stronger communities. And so I said, well, what would my role be? My role would be to mentor, model, equip, and send evangelistic leaders, biblical evangelistic leaders into Montgomery to impact Montgomery with the gospel and hopefully beyond. And I said, that's what I like to do, Lord. I don't know how I could do that. I would like to do that. And would you allow me to do that? So I just wrote it up and said, here's what I'm thinking. We want to do seminars. We want to do evangelism training. We want to take people out and show them how to do spiritual interest questionnaires. And we want to do cross-cultural sensitivity. We want to bring Dr. Ellis in and talk about apologetics, urban apologetics, and do biblical literacy with people. And really, because Montgomery is 70% African Americans, focus on developing African American leaders. And about that, earlier that year, Terrence Jones from Strong Tower had been encouraging me, why don't you come over and mentor us and pour into us and help us and show us, teach us. Pastor James, we need your experience. And I thought, wow, here's an opportunity. Here's a community of need. And then I'm thinking if the Presbyterian churches who have the solid teaching and we take the love of God, partner with a strong church in the Black community, and we go together to reach Montgomery, what would that look like? What would that say to the world? And this is where civil rights began. This is where the Civil War began. What if a movement of the gospel begins right here with Black and white coming together, not for the sake of reconciliation, quote unquote, but because the kingdom of God looks like this already in heaven. And we put our differences aside, and the love of God as the precedent for us, and the gospel as a priority. What would happen if we did that? And I got excited about it. And so Paul Hahn had come from M&A to meet with the Mission Montgomery group. Montgomery, yeah. Bubba was there, and he had met me, and we just, it was kind of, we had a kindred spirit. And so he was coming back, and I did the presentation, and Paul got real excited about it. And next thing I know, he was saying, M&A is calling you to be evangelist for the denomination. And we want you to be assigned to Montgomery to work with your CURE organization you founded, Center for Urban Renewal and Evangelism. It's what the acrostic stands for, CURE. So it became obviously CURE Montgomery. So then the presbytery got excited. We got to talking, and next thing I know, I got approved to do it. And we started fundraising in November, and we were moving, cleaning one place and moving out, and cleaning another place and painting and moving in. And then in trying to preach at a couple of places, and then my sister got COVID, and then I was debating on whether I should go. It was hard to not be able to go see her while she was in critical care. And I'm thinking, if she's going to die, man, so much I would want to say to her, but I wasn't allowed to go. And that was hard. And then I was debating if I should go to the funeral or not, but I'm pretty much the only living relative that knows her history. Mm-hmm. Other than my younger brother, and he couldn't possibly come because of his diabetes. It's so serious. So she ended up passing from COVID, and I ended up eulogizing her. And all of this was in December. So then we get back and we finally move in on the 23rd. and the next day was Christmas Eve. I hadn't bought one present. House full of boxes. And we just flopped down, both Barbara, myself, and my son and daughter. We just like, oh, we're wiped out. And I was like, how am I going to raise the funds? But God in his grace, it's been so good. We've been doing this, and I was thinking, how are we going to get paid? We don't know. And by January, we started getting paid, and we haven't missed a check yet. So God's been faithful to provide.
Amen.
And it's been awesome.
Amen.
So,
well,
it's been awesome.
There's a number of things I want to ask you about in terms of what I know you've been doing, but just kind of the core, one of the core things, this evangelism. You worked with Young Meadows a couple weeks, 2 weekends ago, I guess it was. How did that go?
It was amazing. It was wonderful. The driving person behind that was Paul Johnson. Ever since I started, he's been meeting with me every week. Now, how does this go? And he's watching me. He said, man, I want to be involved. And next thing you know, he's doing a little bit of it. And we've been doing training together and talking to people as individuals. And he said, we need to do this at Young Meadows. And he's talking to Tom Katosh. And they said, well, we want to get a Sunday afternoon. You can go so we can reach out to the campus, the community around us. And I said, great. And so next thing I know, they had said, let's do it on the 16th. Then they said, oh, we got the sports camp company. So we're going to have some teens come to promote the sports camp. And so we had three teenage boys show up, and it was Tom and his wife. And Paul Johnson, myself, and then this new church planner has come to town.
Yeah, we'll come back to him.
Yeah. He came and joined us to help out. And we led three teams. And then Jay Joy said, hey, I want to be there. So it was Jay and me and a young man. And then each one of them had a team with them. And we went out in three teams. And basically, we've developed this spiritual interest questionnaire. You do it as an app. And so it asks questions. And we did it as a Young Meadows app, because once you save the information, it's on a document that you can refer back to and follow people up. And so the questionnaire basically says to people, hey, my name's James. This is Pastor Jay. And we're out in the community doing a spiritual interest questionnaire. Wondering if you could help us by answering a few questions. And then people either say yes or no. And people say, sure. And this guy said, well, let me get my shirt on and my shoes. And he comes back to the door and we go through with him. Turns out he's a pastor. Turns out but when I got at the end of the survey, you ask him what's your background and is Christianity important to you? And in light of COVID, do you think the church explaining eternal life to people is something important to do? And everybody answers that question yes, whether you're a Christian or not. Everybody says that yes. And so then when you get to the part where it says, well, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being I know, what number would you give it, how sure you are you're going to heaven? And the guy says, I think I'm a 10. Well, he said, no, I'll be a 9.5. And I was thinking, you're a pastor and you're a 9.5? So Bill Bright taught me years ago with Campus Crusade, you just don't assume anything. Right. So I just presented the gospel and walked through it. And when we got through it, turns out he had given his life to the Lord, but he didn't have full, complete assurance. And I went through 1 John chapter 13, where it says, and the witness is this, God has given us eternal life. And the testimony of God is testifying. And so... so you have the son, you have the life. You don't have the son, you don't have the life. And he got it. And then I said, so what does it say? I write these things to you who believe in the name and son of God. He said, in order that you may know. I said, no, it said, in order that you may think you have. He said, no, it says no. I said, no, it says that you maybe wish you might have. He says, no, man, it says no. I said, in order that you might be 9.5% that you have. He says, no. I know. The preacher started preaching it to me.
Yeah.
And so Jay was talking to him about getting together and going out witnessing together. And he was open to that as Black and White Church, because he's a pastor of a Baptist church. And I got the chance to meet with him Saturday and follow up. He's excited about getting a team together. And we're going to meet this Thursday. And he asked me, is there material we can go through? So I'm going to be walking through with him through stuff. And we're going to put a team together.
Well, now
that's just one example.
Yeah, and I mean, that raised a couple of questions that I was not aware of. When we had lunch with you that day, you used basically evangelism explosion with the waitress.
Yeah.
But this this phone app that you were
using. Oh, well, it's an introduction to evangelism explosion.
It's basically EE.
Yeah. I use it as an introduction. In fact, it's an EE questionnaire that I've adopted.
You've developed. Okay.
Yeah. I see. And right. And I've adopted the evangelism explosion. It's not traditional. It's so much simpler, and I'm even thinking about changing the first point from grace to God's love, because people are really responding to that today.
Uh-huh.
I noticed Jason been telling people, there's a God in heaven who loves you, and people go, wow, are you serious? And then I think I'm going to introduce, yeah, and he has offered his grace to us as a gift, you know? And so, I don't know, but I've adopted it, and it's been very, very encouraging. We just shared it with a couple yesterday. Met this guy. Turns out he just moved here in February. He's a notable Christian comedian, which that's funny in itself. And when he tells me that, I'm like, oh no, you're not a comedian. Are you serious? And he says, no, call me, man. And so we go, my wife and his wife goes out, and we share with them. And turns out it's the same story for him. He's been a Christian. He grew up Episcopal, but he didn't have the assurance. And it turns out his wife had stage 4 cancer, and she went through a lot of chemo and stuff. And God has, from what she could say, is they say that there's no more evidence of cancer. She's cancer free, and so they're wanting to serve. And they want to partner with me. So he and I are talking about doing discipleship, and he wants to do prison ministry. So I can imagine that'd be fun to take a comedian to the prison and a possible outreach for that. But another thing that happened with the group is the teens were all into it.
Yeah.
They came back and they were telling the stories. And one of the young ladies that they encountered said she had attempted suicide.
Uh-huh.
And she was open to hearing the gospel. And so Tom's wife, Jan, is it Jan?
Jan.
Yeah. Right. She said she's going to follow up. So I got to find out how that went. But it was pretty cool.
And what kind of training did you do with them beforehand? Did you just
Did a brief overview of what we're going to do. And my first thing is, it's so hard to get people out.
Right.
So I try to remove the obstacle of getting out.
Right.
So basically, what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to have fun. We're just going to make some new friends, and we're going to use this as a guide. So you got it right in front of you. And your job is to watch the leader do the sharing, and you stand there and pray. And that's how we got into it. But then once Dan got there, she saw what happened. She was all into it. So, and it's kind of what happens. You catch it more than you taught it. So, so that's how Paul got excited about it. I was witnessing to the waitress and she prayed to receive Christ. Cause I have this illustration where I say, you know, you can stand before God and basically say, let's imagine this is the James chair and you're sitting in the Paul's chair and you're sitting in the Tom's chair and Bubba's in Bubba chair. And we're standing before God, and the chair represents I'm trusting in me and what I did to get myself into heaven. And then God's in the back room, and I'm waiting to get the results of is my good going to outweigh my bad? I say, that's a pretty scary place to be. Everybody says, yeah. I said, now imagine an empty chair, and that chair represents the strength of Jesus and everything he's done for you on the cross. And you can just put all your confidence in that. Which chair would you want to be in? And this young lady literally jumped from one chair to the other chair. And Paul got real excited about sharing his faith after that. So she prayed with us, and it was just exciting. So
let me ask you about just change a little bit here to the course you and Barbara are taking with Dr. Ellis, Carl Ellis at Reformed Seminary in Atlanta.
The Ethnistons, School for the Bible and Ethnicity.
Uh-huh.
The Edmondsons were the first Presbyterian African Americans go to the Congo as missionaries. And they have an incredible story. And in fact, they were one of the reasons, the husband was, that I became PCA, because I kept saying, God, I don't know anybody. Why do you want me to be in Presbyterian? I'd be the only black person. And it's like, nobody else has done this. And then I opened this book and there's this black guy who just came out of slavery, right?
Yeah.
And now he's a missionary to the Congo. And he was so sharp, and he had gone to seminary and the whole thing. He says, you're not unique. And I got the sense that God was calling me. And so the school basically is an opportunity to get educated on historical missionaries in from the African-American point of view, and culturally the black church and how to address issues in the black church. Uh-huh. So I want to stay fresh. I feel like I need to grow.
Yeah.
And Dr. Ellis is one of the greatest minds of our day, and having him to pour into Barb and me for the next year or so taking this course is going to be not only fun, but very, very insightful.
And the first course you said was on prayer?
Prayer. Yes, yes. Prayer as the weapon for ministry as opposed to our efforts. So, and what I tell people when we're going out, I say, first thing we want to do is talk to God about men, then talk to men about God. Because we can go out all we want, and we can have the best method in the world, and we can have the slickest arguments, and people will look at us and go, blah. But the Holy Spirit at work on someone's life, this might be a good place to introduce Jason. They're one of the greatest missionary couples I've seen in my life. They're generous and loving, and they come from a great background of just witnessing and giving. Jason, I think Friday night, early Friday morning.
This is Jason Powell.
Yeah, Jason Powell. He's the new church planter for us, Jesus City downtown on Dexter. And they just had like a soft opening on Sunday, which was really tremendous. I was there just to say, welcome, get going. Yeah, it's great to see what you're doing. And this guy, this black guy comes out and said, early in the morning, right before, you know, light, hey man, give me a ride. He was like, no, I ain't giving you no ride. So, and then he says, he got in the car and he says, the Lord was like, give him a ride. That's what he felt like. And I was like, I'm black. I don't know if the Lord could have got me to give him a ride. And I'm like, Jason got a lot more faith than me. He says, hey man, yeah, I'm going your way now that the Lord's told me. He said, but I want you to come by here and look at this building. And on the front of the building, he's got, there's a God in heaven who loves you. And the guy says to him, for real, man? And the guy just starts crying in the car and said his marriage is falling apart. He's losing his business. And Jason said, well, let me tell you about this guy. And he basically describes the prodigal son. He came to the end of himself in the middle of a field, and he just had lost everything. And the guy, before he could finish the story, said, that's me. That's me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I need to come back. Hmm. He said, I didn't have to share with him anymore. The guy just started praying. He said, thank you, Pastor. And it's the kind of thing that God is already at work. What witnessing is not us going to convince anyone of anything. Paul says, all those who were appointed for eternal life, you know that, believed. Right? All those appointed believe. We Presbyterians know that better than anybody. All those appointed believe. So God is already at work. When Dave DeHuff came to me, he didn't care about my skin color. He didn't care about my theology or what all the things I was doing and that weird look I had, the weird hair I had, the red hair and all the medallions and cigarettes and striped pants and platform shoes. He didn't care about none of that. He just came to me and said, God loves you, and shared the four spiritual laws with me. And he didn't know that the day before I had decided to take my own life. Mm. And when he came to me and said, God loves you, I thought, if anybody in this world loves me, it would be God. And I just fell apart. And the rest is history now. I heard the gospel the first time, and I received Jesus. And I've been one that help transform lives ever since.
Yeah,
that's where I want to be.
Bubba, Paul, questions, or Alan, Judy? Judy's still having trouble with her phone connection. But questions, anyone? We're kind of coming close to a time where we want to pray, but...
Not so much a question. I just would like to maybe Trinity to get some of this training.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I guarantee you it'll be fun. And you'll be surprised what happens, because there are people that you'd never imagine would be interested, all of a sudden would just become different. We were at the country club with Paul. Paul took me to the country club. And this guy just walks over and says, "Well, I ain't coming over because you're black, but since you're here, I want to meet you." And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" So we're sitting there eating lunch. I started sharing the gospel with these guys. And this guy, all of a sudden, starts talking about Jesus and how the Lord had changed his life. And he was like, "Yeah, I did that long time ago." And they all were like, "We never knew him like that. We never knew he had that." And now they're talking about starting a Bible study out there. So it's so much fun. So it's so much fun. So you'll be surprised how God has worked.
Let's see. Yeah, so I guess the other role, this is where you touched on Jason Powell, sort of a mentoring role for young pastors.
Yeah, he actually told me that yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, basically, I see you as a spiritual leader. You've paved the way, and I'm following in your footsteps, and I appreciate anything you can offer me in this way. In fact, you need to bring Cure over, and we can have an office here with me, and let's work out of the same facility. I said, "Well, let me pray about all that stuff." And
where's he located?
He's located 120 Dexter.
120 right. Dexter.
Yeah, that's a miracle in itself.
Next to that great landmark, Chris's hot dog.
Chris's hot dog. Right?
All right.
I'm like, it's amazing how he even got that door open to be there on Dexter. It's just amazing. I'll let him tell you that story sometime, but I was just privileged to be a part of helping guide and help negotiate some of the opportunity for him to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he said he really appreciates my counsel and love his wife and kids. They're so sweet, so wonderful. And man, you talk about some of the best spaghetti in the world. She's Italian. I mean, I was like, "Oh my goodness, I thought I've had spaghetti." So it was just, it's really cool. Yeah. And then the coolest thing happened Sunday was his father-in-law and his mother-in-law surprised them and just showed up from California. This guy pastors a 2,000 member church, and he comes out to be a part of this opening. And the daughter just sees her dad. She hadn't seen him in a year. She bounces from here, and right into his arms. And I see a 36-year-old girl, I think about 36. I'm not sure. I don't know her age. I'm sorry I said that, ladies. Just to see her in her dad's arms like that, and just the tears and the joy and the smile, and the kids going, "Zechariah and Zephariah, daddy, grandma, grandpa here." And to see the father-in-law bragging on his son-in-law, I was like, wow, that tells you everything. He said, "I was there when Jason converted. He came to a youth group I was leading, and he came forward when I gave the invitation, and yeah, I saw the potential in him. From that day, everything you see in him now, he's been doing for years, and it's for real." Mm. And I'm going to support him, and I believe in him. And I thought it was pretty awesome. So,
well, okay, we will go to prayer. And Judy often leads us in prayer, but I see she's still trying to get her audio connection going, so it may just be us here praying for you, James. But
you mind if I read the scripture before?
Go ahead. Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Yeah. I got this morning, and I was just really like, wow, the timing of this is so great. Give me a minute. I'm starting to get to that point where you have to do the trombone focus. But it's Acts 20:24, but I'm starting at verse, I believe it's 23. And it says, 22. "And now I am on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit," this is Paul talking, "not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in every town, the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. So when we do the gospel, you can expect opposition, you can expect obstacles. And today we're not facing chains and major affliction, not yet. But I consider my life of no value to myself. He says, my purpose is to finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of God's grace, to testify to the gospel, to proclaim the gospel of God's grace. And that's what God's called the church to. And I just want us to pray that we'll be that, and we'll establish a culture of proclaiming the gospel.
Yeah.
As a church, as a church, body of Christ.
As a church and as individuals within yes. that church.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll be praying. We've got these prayer requests, your outpatient surgery next week after next, the 3rd of June. Next week.
Yes, next week.
Yeah, next week. Yeah. And PCA General Assembly to see you headed off to that. We pray and.
Well, yeah, we need funding. Barb and me to go.
Yeah,
yeah.
Any other more current prayer requests than when you gave us these last week before?
Just real clarity about direction. I'm excited about this potential of the prison opportunity to disciple someone to go into the prison as a Christian comedian, but also a Bible leader. Just praying that would come together. And then this summer, he's saying he wants to contact some of his professional Christian friends who are comedians to have a outreach event where we can all come out and bring our non-believing friends to share the gospel. I also will be meeting with this pastor to equip him. I'm meeting with, a police officer today. He's with Cops for Christ, and we're doing a discipleship walk through the Bible as well, and he's working on seeing if he could this fall get me, he and I go into public schools to talk to the kids about how to respond to the police. And I want to use it as an opportunity
share. Sure.
And so those things are on our heart. And then of course I want to be careful in how I support Jason, but got wisdom in how to support Jason.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about Alabama State and the doors that have been opened.
Oh, that's there. Incredible. with Dr. White and that whole thing. So yeah, it's starting to get like, okay, I got to narrow this thing down really quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bubba, you want to start us with prayer, Paul? Yeah. Pray if you'd like.
Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for James, the opportunity for us to be with him and those out on the internet. But most importantly, Lord, you're with us. And it's so exciting to hear what you're doing through James. Lord, you have called us to be your witness. I think about yesterday was Pentecost Sunday, and you sent the Holy Spirit into the church. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will come into my life, into our life, in the lives of all these churches that we're talking about, particularly the PCA. And from that, Lord, we would have this passion and zeal to go out and share. As James reminds us, the Lord has already done the work. We just need to show up and be there. And James has been doing this his life. He's got so much experience and so much wisdom that he can share with us. So I pray that we might be able to take his advice, take his wisdom, and then apply it to our lives and apply it to our churches. And Lord, as he said, we might see the PCA being a real evangelistic church, Lord, that we would reach out. We're blessed here at Trinity. I have been blessed for years to see that, particularly in the mission area where we reach out around the world. But Lord, give us that passion here in Montgomery to do the same with so many organizations that we've been associated with for so many years. Now we have James here who just has so many opportunities. Give him wisdom of where to go and what to do and how to do it. Lord, there's so much going on out there, and we're so excited about that. But be with he and Barbara, Lord, give them the time they need for each other to renew their strength as they go out, particularly this upcoming surgery and the opportunity to go to a general assembly, that you would make that available to him. But Lord, I just thank you for this brother that is known, you know, go back to Claude's dad so many years ago and being associated with us. So Lord, just bring him into our lives, bring him into our church, into our Southeast Alabama. Use him in a mighty way, Lord, to change Montgomery, Lord, that we might be the light on the hill that makes a difference. We would be a different church, it be a different city, Lord, that was led by you. Oh, what a blessing that would be. So thank you again, Lord, for this time and for James, and I pray this in Christ's name.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we gather together to pray and to support one another in the spreading of the gospel, and to pray for the needs of the church. We have this opportunity to pray for James and the tremendous work he's doing is crossing and bringing together intercultural and interracial and ethnic groups to spread the gospel regardless of their background. Sometimes we as Presbyterians think about ourselves as being the only way and the best way, and it may be, but we need to think in a more eclectic reach across all lines. We give thanks for James and his work and give him the tenacity, the encouragement, the desire to continue this great work in Montgomery and get the support that he needs. We pray in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, I agree with these prayers, and we are so grateful for this time together with James and for his testimony, the change you brought in his life long ago as a college student, and for the ministry that he's had in many ways since then. And this ministry now that you brought him to here in Montgomery, and I pray, Lord, that you would give him strength and wisdom as he goes forward, and as he realizes perhaps I need to focus some, because there are so many needs, there are so many opportunities, and it's obvious that you are at work, Lord, even though we tend to think, we tend to not see that at times. And so I thank you for James and just his helping us to be aware of some of the things that are happening here within our own city. And I do pray that we would hear this call to evangelism personally, and that as a church, this would be a greater part of our ministry in this city, and that we would be good stewards of the gospel that has been given to us, and in turn bear witness to those around us. Some who, like in James' stories here, some who have maybe known of you or somehow made a profession long ago of faith and yet strayed far from that, like the prodigal son. Lord, help us. Others have just never heard the gospel. Help us to be ready with the gospel on our lips, and that we would glorify you with that. And I do pray for James with this upcoming surgery, with the preparations and the financial need for the trip to Presbytery, that you would fill that, that you would provide for that, that you would bless him and Barbara as they go and renew contacts there and be a part of this deliberation for our denomination. In many ways, this could be a crucial meeting, and I think many of them have been in the past, obviously, but this one in particular could be very crucial in terms of the future of our denomination. But again, help us to be faithful as a countrywide network of churches, be faithful to you and to our Lord. Bless us in this day, we pray, Lord, and that we would serve you. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.
Amen.